Hi, attainable listeners. It's Amy Powell here. For those of you who are new to the Attainable Podcast and don't know me yet, I am a life and happiness coach. I specialize in supporting individuals who are feeling unfulfilled in their careers to cultivate happiness within so that they can enjoy their day-to-day and live a content and joyful life. I am founder of Attainable, and today I'm your host here at the Attainable Podcast. In this episode, I'm speaking with Natalie Thomas, founder and chief sustainability coach of Less Wasted Living and host of the podcast Wasted, Rehab for Our Waste Addiction. In our conversation today, Natalie helps us to build the connection between how living a more sustainable life means living a happier and healthier life as well. Natalie shares stories from her childhood growing up in Texas, her experience living overseas in Italy, and walks us through a quote-unquote day in the life of being a sustainable influencer and coach. This is my last interview of 2020. I am so ready to dive in, so let's go. Hey, Natalie.
Hi, Amy.
Welcome to the Attainable Podcast. So awesome to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm very, very excited to be here.
It's been so great getting to know you over the last couple months. We met through a social media movement, one that I'm a creator of called hashtag Sustainable Sundays, where we ask everyone to take one sustainable action for the earth and post about it on Sundays on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Natalie, you've been such a great partner and participant in the movement. And over the last few months, we've discovered just how much we have in common. One being our passion for the earth and trying to live as sustainably as we can. And that really brings me to our conversation today, where I'd really like to get into why living sustainably makes us healthier and happier beings. And that's what you particularly do with your company and how you help clients at Less Wasted Living. So let's start there. Why did you start your business? What's your mission? Tell us about it.
Yeah. I started this journey myself when I was in the middle of working retail and knew I wanted to do something in the world of sustainability, which that word can encompass so many things, but I wasn't at the right place to start anything, but I was very passionate. So I started just self-teaching, learning, researching, and slowly applying different changes in my life. And that was 7 years ago. So to think I just started composting, which is a huge part of living more sustainably, just started that last year. I didn't want it to take 7 years for someone else, which I feel like now with YouTube and social media, it's transformed a little bit. I don't think it would take someone 7 years, but I was just getting so many questions from family and friends on how to compost or what products should they use instead of what they're using, or simply tagging me in a post with them using a reusable water bottle and just how excited they were that they were able to connect the dots of their own consumption and waste and the impact it could have. So I started thinking how I could help others outside of social media, because I was primarily just trying to make that impact and help people through the changes on social media. And I just felt that I kept getting the same questions because it wasn't personalized to them. So once I started helping I put a poll out and I said, hey, if you want help starting, composting on your own, let me know. And I had multiple people answer. And so I was sending them individual DMs with where they compost in their area, where they could drop off, how to start, what to do. It took me so long for each one. And I thought, oh my, this is what people need is personalized, situational help and coaching and advice, consulting, whatever you want to call it, on how to live more sustainably. And I've made so many changes in my own lifestyle, and I've seen how different the world looks now to me. And I would love to give that to other people and have them discover the peace and happiness. I truly believe you're happier and more at peace with yourself when you're living more connected to our world.
I love that. It's beautiful. And, I think about an awakening. It kind of is almost like seeing the other side a bit. And so tell us about that. So what experiences in your life
personal or professional, have really inspired you to start doing the work you're doing? And now that you've seen, you know, kind of this other side, seeing a vision for how people can be living in a more sustainable way, what have your experiences contributed to this new way of living?
There were two really prominent experiences and or memories that I have that really catapulted this. And then of course there's been small things along the way, but the first was I was working for a retailer and was just about to go abroad as a contract gig to open stores overseas. So it was right before I was leaving, and I grew up in Amarillo, Texas. I was working in Amarillo, Texas, which is like cattle country. We grew up with stockyards, and you just smell the stockyards. And they would always say, oh, it smells like money. And we just knew that that was cattle. But it never, for me, maybe I was naive, I didn't connect the dots. I ate meat. I bought chicken. But I didn't process like, oh, wow, that smell is just, you know, thousands of cows being raised and processed for us to eat. So I was at work, and one of the girls that worked for me was telling the staff in the back that her boyfriend worked at Tyson, which is a meat processing plant outside of Amarillo. And she was describing the details of how they process meat. And I was horrified and went to lunch, ordered a burger, had one bite, and just put it down. I couldn't eat it. And I became vegetarian immediately. And quickly after, short after, I went to Italy. So I'm working in Italy, and I went to the grocery store. It was one of my first trips to the grocery store, and I heard a woman ordering a cut of meat, and the butcher told her, we're out of that. And so she ordered a different cut of meat, and he said, oh, we're out of that as well. What we have today is this. And I was in the process of picking out bread, and it just clicked that in the U.S., and this could be elsewhere as well, but from my experience in the U.S., we've been treating animals and meat as if it were baked bread that you can just continue to make more of if you sell out. Better yet, let's have every option you could possibly want. Who cares if not everyone buys it? At least we had it available for sale. And what happens to all that meat that's not purchased? And then it just started this domino effect of remembering all the chicken that I bought in college that I never actually cooked and I threw away, all the half-eaten steaks or burgers or whatever it might be. And I just started to connect the dots of how we treat living things on this earth. And we treat them as if they're infinite and there is no end to it. We can always have more and more and more and more and more. Therefore, we don't value them. And it's the same with our planet. And so that was a huge eye-opening experience for me. And that really catapulted this whole thing. And then the second would be, and I think I've told you this story before, but I used to have a really bad shopping problem. And I was just striving to live this lifestyle. And I thought that if I had the sunglasses or the bag or the amount of clothes, that I would then be this celebrity fashion blogger person. And I memorized all the designers and whatnot. So I'm now living in Italy, which is Milan, fashion capital of the world. And there are designer bags everywhere. And everyone's dressed so nicely. And so I, you know, kept my shopping habits going and purchased a really expensive pair of sunglasses and needed to return them, and had one of my Italian coworkers help me return it because I was, one, embarrassed and had buyer's remorse, of course, because that was the just cycle that I was used to with my shopping habit of overspending, having a high from it. Immediate regret, don't do anything about it, and then debt. So I was telling him like, hey, can you please help me? I really need to return this. I spent way too much, like $400 on these. You know, I don't speak Italian that well, and just making all the excuses. And he just laughed and he said, yeah, you know, of course I'll help you. And I was like, why is this funny? And he said, you're American. You can't help it. You guys are raised to shop. And I was kind of offended and taken aback. And I went home and I looked at my closet and I kept thinking about what he said. And I thought about any accomplishment I had was go buy something. you get something because you had a good grade, because you had a promotion. It was always buying something. And I looked at this closet at home and I had so many things that still had tags on it that weren't even in my style, but someone else had it, or it looked like something Olivia Palermo had worn on a magazine, you know, cover. I had just started this really unhealthy habit. So I decided to go 6 months without buying anything that wasn't essential. And it completely broke me of my shopping habit. And since then, I've just had a new outlook on consumerism and shopping. So those are the two big things that have impacted my life.
Thinking of, you know, less wasted living. I mean, those stories just paint such a clear picture of over consumerism, you know, consuming too much, creating too much in our life.
Yeah.
And life is so beautiful on its own, right? And we like, why are we adding all these things to it and really allowing ourselves to embrace less?
Yeah. And the term, my dad would always, I was raised with this term. It was already taken as a business name, or else I would have taken it, but waste not, want not. And he would always tell us that if you waste, you'll continue to want. And if you'll stop wasting and treating things as if they're disposable, you'll find that that void is filled.
Love that. If I were a client working with you, really, what do you want clients to get from working with you? And what is your ultimate goal and results to transform a person and just open their eyes to certain things? What is that transformation?
It depends on the individual, of course. And if I could take everyone out of this country for like 2 years, I would, but that's not possible. But it's really to start looking at the things in life that impact us without the buyer's remorse, without the guilt. What are those things that at the end of our life, we're going to be so happy we did, we experienced? We are not going to care about a designer bag when we're on our deathbed. We're just not. And I think we're missing out on nature, on the beauty that this planet has to offer. When you're gone, you're gone. And I really want to have my clients see what they're missing out on by being distracted with keeping up with the Joneses or wanting to have the most, you know, convenient lifestyle, and seeing that they have the resources and the tools and giving them to them as well, really educating and teaching, but getting them to a base of like, hey, let's just get you started with this is how you compost. This is kind of the downfalls of recycling. Here's your education on how to shop for things. But a lot of it's just a mindset and trying to get them. It's different for one person. It might be with their kids, you know, getting back in nature with your kids, playing outside. For the next person, it might be reconnecting with a hobby on the water that they used to love. And just, we really do. We have a beautiful planet. And anytime I've traveled, I've thought, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I got to see this place. Something happened, sounds so, you know, doom and gloom, but truly if, you know, I'm on a plane and it went down, I'm always like, I'm so glad I got to see X and experience nature there and how different it is, or the weather or the food, and which I know traveling in itself can be quite unsustainable, but I would rather have a client spend money and be wasteful in traveling than in consumerism that's just making them unhappy and driving them into debt. Mm.
That really resonates because our planet is so beautiful. I remember I was fortunate enough to have my dad. I was in Austin for South by Southwest in 2012. And my dad flew out and drove with me, and we stopped at the Grand Canyon on the way home. And I had seen photos of the Grand Canyon, but seeing it in person, it was breathtaking. It was incredible. Mm. And in that moment, just thinking, this is unreal, how beautiful and expansive. And so I totally hear you that really seeing how beautiful this planet is, and you just gain such an appreciation for real natural things, you know, that aren't wrapped in plastic, right? That resonates so much.
I mean, even that day or how many hours you spent there, that lives on in your mind and your memory. And it was a fun day for you, I'm sure. Like, it brought you joy and happiness. And no one can take that away from you. It's yours. And I feel like you look at things differently from experiences like that. You appreciate things differently. You can have fun how do I say this? It doesn't take as much for you to have fun. Like, when you have fun through possessions or, you know, spending money and having things, you're always going to have to top that. But I feel like with travel and with nature, it's so simple. It doesn't take much. When you tune into it and allow it to be that for you.
It's so true. I'm going to spring this on you, but if you feel comfortable, I'd love you to walk through a day. Just walk through a day for you of, you know, waking up and just choices that you're making throughout the day, and maybe choices that you now make that you are intentional about, that maybe 10 years ago you had made a different choice. So I'd love just to paint a picture of what a sustainable day looks like for you.
Ooh, I love this. All right. So it starts with coffee, because that's what most of us love. This is where I have to be the adult and say, no, Natalie, you don't need a coffee from a to-go shop, or it's not actually going to taste any better. Like, make your own coffee. So I'll make my own coffee, and it's totally amazing. I've gotten it down pat. It's good to go. It's really the food and beverage part that I start with, of having it here at home, having it be something that I made myself. It didn't come out of a package, as much as I can control. Having the products in my toiletries being already sustainable, so there's no thought in it. They're already there. I have the bamboo toothbrush, the Bite toothpaste, like having those little things that are set up for myself. And my clothing now is almost all second hand or something I've had for years and years and years. And no, it's not always trendy. And I really would love a tie-dye sweatsuit or something, but it's okay. Like, it's all right. I still have cute stuff. So getting dressed in my clothing, which I actually wear with a lot of pride. There's something about secondhand shopping that when you find good stuff, you know that hardly anyone else has it. It's super unique. You found it, you know, at a discount, and it was already out in the world. So, right. So get dressed from my closet. I don't watch TV at all. I haven't had TV in a while. I'll watch YouTube channels and Netflix sometimes, but I don't watch TV. I drive my 2004 Honda Accord, which, trust me, every day I'm like, oh, I really wish I had a new car, but I have to parent myself again. And I know I don't need it. It still runs. So that's what I would be zooming around. And if I did, we're all kind of working from home now, but I am plant-based, so anything I eat is going to be plant-based. But again, I really try just to eat whole foods. And, you know, I think a big one is social media. I have three accounts now, but my first one that I started with, I went back and checked this a couple weeks ago, and I followed so many fashion accounts that had, like, you know, this outfit, like to know it, you can get it for this price, cheap, 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 cheap. And that is a lot of where my shopping addictions, you know, had come from and stemmed from, was social media or blogs, bloggers. And so it's interesting, because now I only check that for DMs from close friends, but I'm no longer on that, and I no longer follow accounts like that. So you got to set yourself up, right? And have people around you that support your lifestyle. And then I get outside my enjoyment or my hobby. So instead of killing time going to Target, and none of this is shaming, this is me comparing to my former self. Instead of going to Target when I was, or TJ Maxx, a discount store, when I'm bored or just feeling like I want to escape, I'll go for a walk. go for a really long walk, try to beat my steps from the day before, and you know, do some form of exercise if I'm being disciplined, and you know, make dinner at home if I can. If I go out, that's totally fine too. But plant-based, being very annoying and asking, you know, for no straw, asking for something not to be in plastic, yada yada yada. And yeah, and the things I consume on TV are much different than what they used to be. So a lot of the YouTube channels I'll watch are really big in travel or sustainability. And if they are a lifestyle blog, they are people that are spreading positivity and trying to better themselves. So, and I no longer sleep with my phone next to my bed, thanks to you. And that's made a big difference. So that is, in a nutshell, kind of what a day looks like.
And I know you live in an apartment. How is composting in an apartment environment where you don't have a backyard to set up composting? Yeah.
There are some that you can do on a much smaller scale in your apartment, but I just didn't want to be bothered with it. So I found a community garden that's across the lake from me. So I freeze all my scraps and take it over. And I'm not going to lie, sometimes it gets overfilled and I'll spill coffee beans all over the floor and frozen blueberries if anything that went bad. And I try not to be wasteful, but yeah, so it can be tedious at times, but I love doing it because it's the one thing I know I can literally see where it's going and see the plants and vegetables that are coming from it. So
that's so cool. I love it. That's one thing, like now throwing any produce or eggshell in the trash can, or I see someone else doing it, I'm like, wait, that's not where it goes. Right.
So it's so foreign now.
It is. Yeah. That feels good to feel like, you know, at least that change has really affected
Absolutely.
Us. And yeah, it's like wrong to do it, to mm-hmm. throw anything in the trash now.
Yeah.
So this question is just a little fun here. What is one of your biggest pet peeves or misconceptions around sustainable living that you want your clients to understand and learn from in working with you?
I would say just in the industry or just in society, one of my biggest pet peeves is just the accountability piece, and that we could possibly continue to make things that we know are not reusable, or we don't actually have a solution for, you know, a restaurant using compostable cups, but they don't have a compost bin. Like, those are my big, big pet peeves. When it comes to on an individual level, I wouldn't say a pet peeve, but just, I think one of the biggest misconceptions or misunderstandings is you don't have to live in a cardboard box and wear paper bags to live sustainably. You don't, but we also don't want to make excuses for ourselves if we have the opportunity, the privilege, because some people don't have the privilege to choose. If you do have the privilege, not making excuses for yourself to do the right thing when you know it's available. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes. I consciously choose sometimes to get a to-go cup, but I think it's important for us to realize you can live a lifestyle that is still true to you. You can still have your hobbies and do the things you love. However, don't use that as like I'm just going to do whatever. And I can continue to live this lifestyle. I really like to hold my clients accountable to the things they're capable of. They're capable of a lot of these swaps or changes. It's just that accountability piece.
Yep. Yep. So tell us, what's next upcoming for you? What are you working on right now?
I am currently working on building and promoting wasted living and of course, evolving that. And it will continue to evolve into what will work for people. This has been a really unique year for everyone. So really looking to see how I can get individuals to be more connected to nature, you know, through living more sustainably, making better choices, but also empowering them to use their voice and recognizing the power that they do have. And I've told you my dream is to live off the grid on a sailboat with solar and wind power and work remotely. So that's it. That's all I've got in my goals.
Those are great things. And when you say, you know, holding people accountable, you're super smart to think about either a membership or a group package, because really, if we can get together and talk about things that we are doing or, you know, challenges we're having that come up along the way, of just really being able to organize and know that you have this support network there, mm-hmm. Is awesome. So cool. I'm excited for that coming out.
Yeah. Great.
Where can listeners find you if they want to connect with you, if they want to learn more, if they want to follow along?
So I've got my website, so lesswastedliving.com. I'm on Instagram under Less Wasted Living. I do have my own podcast, which I've taken a small little break from, but I have guests on in the realm of sustainability.
Perfect. Awesome. I'm going to ask you our last and final question for today. What is one action our listeners can take to make their homes more sustainable today?
It's so hard for me to pick one, but I would say noise, making a lot of noise around things. And when I say that, I mean being vocal, inconveniencing people. I've been one to never speak up because I didn't want to inconvenience someone. I didn't want to, you know, have someone have to do another step if I was out ordering food or whatnot. But I think if we are more vocal about what we want to see, things will change a lot more quickly. And I keep seeing this meme or this quote go around Instagram that says 70% of the world's emissions are caused by 100 companies. And I understand that. And, you know, that could be the case. However, we are part of that problem. You know, if you buy, shop from, you know, use that oil in your car, whatever it is, I don't know the full 100 companies, but we are still a part of the problem because we all live here. We consume products and we have electricity that may not be from solar. So I think we're all involved in the problem. And if we are to give feedback when we have a favorite product we use at home and you don't want to have to change to, let's say, a shampoo bar. Well, write to your company that you love, DM them on Instagram, tell them like, hey, I love your product. Have you ever thought about sustainable packaging or turning it into a shampoo bar? There's so much we can do just by being vocal, because I feel that there are some limitations that we encounter that a lot of people are getting down about right now. For instance, you know, with COVID, using your own bags or being able to buy in bulk, reusable cups, we're being told no to a lot of those things. So then how are we using our voice? And voting is a huge, huge component of that. And I don't think enough people look at what presidents have done, you know, when it comes to the environment or what their plan is to do. And it's all of our home. And so I think just making noise, voting, feedback, DM your mayor if you see trash, you know, on this, just make noise. And sometimes they aren't the right party to be speaking to, but a lot of times they'll point you in the right direction. So that is the number one thing someone can do is that.
Excellent. I love that. Make noise.
Make noise about the change you want to see.
Natalie, it's been so great chatting with you. Thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you.
And I loved that was fun riff just to walk through your day. A lot of people think that living sustainably is this totally foreign thing. And it is just shifting your thinking and being conscious around what you have been doing. And is that sustainable? And what are other options out there? So
absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks again. Chat soon.
Natalie's story allows us to see how being kind to our planet also means being kind to our well-being, our true desires, and even our wallets. Start taking a deeper look at what you purchase, what you eat, and how you live your life, and ask yourself, does this really make me happy? Does this really serve me? reflect on the answer. You may just be surprised with what you find. And since this is our last episode of 2020, I want to wish everyone a safe holiday season and happy new year. If any of this resonates with you, and if you're curious to learn more, follow my story on Instagram at attainable_AF, where you'll learn how to cultivate your personal happiness. I believe everyone is capable of living their happiest life. Happy New Year. See you in 2021.